Hotels and other lodging establishments will still be able to provide accommodations to provide housing for essential healthcare workers, first responders.
Because they have essential jobs. Michael Anthony Whitehead is one of them. He's a truck driver at the port.
You're putting in more time and you're getting less money, put it that way.
Grocery stores across the country have had to remain open during the coronavirus pandemic, and workers are feeling the burden.
You know, even these frontline workers, they didn't all sign up to be heroes. Even workers in the healthcare field and medical industry, they didn't all necessarily sign up to put themselves in harm's way.
You know, I think one of the hardest things for all essential workers right now is feeling like they don't have the resources that they need to carry out what they need to do.
This is New Hampshire Calling, a pop-up show from NHPR. That's all about how we can help each other navigate daily life in this time of a pandemic. I'm Jack Rodolico, live in Concord. Tonight, we are dedicating our show to essential workers. If you are still going into work right now, we want to hear from you. Anyone from the infectious disease doctor to the postal worker, if your job is considered essential in this pandemic, how are you? And what should the rest of us understand about the work you do? Essential workers, this is your turn, so call us. Here's the number, 603-513-7700. One more time, 603-513-7700. You can also email us at nhcalling@nhpr.org. I also want to say that if you are not an essential worker, but if your life has been touched by one and you want to give that essential worker a shout out or thank you on the radio, you can call in too. Again, the number is 603-513-7700. That's 513-7700. Before we go to callers, let's recap what we know right now about coronavirus in New Hampshire. It was a long weekend. There have now been 1,938 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the state, and 6 of the last 7 deaths from the virus occurred in long-term care facilities. The disease is proving to be dangerous for residents of county-run nursing homes, private nursing homes, retirement communities, and institutions for people with disabilities. State officials say testing for COVID-19 is expanding to all long-term care facilities in Rockingham and Hillsborough counties, and 5 new testing sites will open in Claremont, Lancaster, Plymouth, Tamworth, and Rochester. Also, testing criteria will expand, allowing people with mild symptoms to be tested. Those combined efforts could allow the state to conduct an additional 1,500 tests per day, says Governor Chris Sununu. And the state court system will remain closed through May. No in-person court hearings, with exceptions made for hearings on emergency relief and on constitutional rights of criminal defendants. Stay up to date on all the news about the pandemic in New Hampshire at nhpr.org. Our reporters are doing an incredible job keeping all of us informed. So today's show is dedicated to essential workers. Just a reminder, if you are still going to work, we want to hear from you. Maybe you are coming back from a long shift in the car right now. What should the rest of us understand about the work you are doing? Call us to tell your story at 603-513-7700, 603-513-7700. 513-7700. So I have here in front of me the official list of who is an essential worker during this pandemic, as defined by the state of New Hampshire. And here's the most striking part of this list. It is long. This list is 10 pages of 12-point font. And when you look past the things that seem more obvious at first, like law enforcement, healthcare workers, grocery store staff, the list keeps going. Farmers, IT workers, insurance agents, weather forecasters. So that is to say, there are a lot of you out there, essential workers, and we know many of you are listening right now. So tell me, how are you? New Hampshire Calling is live, and our phone number is 603-513-7700, 513-7700. Also, email us at nhcalling@nhpr.org. essentialworkers.org. And remember, if you just want to give a shout out to an essential worker who has helped you, you are welcome to call as well. We're going to go first to Joan Widmer, who's on the line. Joan, welcome to New Hampshire Calling. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Jack. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure. So, Joan, you are the Nurse Executive Director of the New Hampshire Nurses Association, and I wanted you to come on first because, you know, healthcare workers are really, you know, the front line of the front line in the state and everywhere right now. And you have some data on how nurses in particular are doing. You conducted a survey that you had, correct me if I'm wrong, about 800 responses to. What are nurses saying about how they're doing right now? What are their top concerns?
Thank you. Yes, we conducted a survey the weekend of April 18th and 19th of not only our members, but also any nurse that we had in a listserv. So we sent the survey out to about 10,000 nurses and nursing professionals across the state, and we're overwhelmed that we received 800 responses in about 48 hours.
Wow.
The single largest concern of all of the respondents was personal protective equipment. Was there adequate PPE or appropriate PPE? We asked that because sometimes nurses are wearing a face mask when an N95 respirator mask would be preferred and things like that. 50% of the respondents, 50% felt that that was their biggest concern. Another 21% saw that as their second greatest concern. The next issue that received a great deal of concern was spreading the virus to my family. And when you think about that, it's very integrally related to having good personal protective equipment. 13% saw that as their single greatest concern, while 18% saw it as their second highest concern. We looked at the data. We asked a few demographic questions in the survey, and we also looked at it in terms of what the nursing professional licensure. So, for instance, we have registered nurses, nurse practitioners, licensed nursing assistants, licensed practical nurses. And we found that pretty much the top two to three concerns were the same across what license and across where you worked in the healthcare system, whether you worked in the hospital or long-term care or home care. The top three or four concerns were essentially the same. However, the priority shifted slightly depending on some of the demographic questions.
So you know, nurses generally have the same top concerns, but what ranks number one, number two, number three will depend on if they are working in an ICU or a long-term care facility. And I want to ask you, you know, we are hearing a lot about the toll in long-term care facilities, and we hear about that mostly because there are deaths of patients. But, you know, we also know that there are staff in those facilities who are getting COVID-19. What can you say in particular about nurses in long-term care facilities? And, you know, how are they? I mean, in a real gut check level, how are those nurses doing?
Long-term care is an extremely challenging area right now for nursing professionals. Part of the problem is staff that has to be quarantined as a result of having caught the virus, but we're also seeing staff departures as a result of COVID-19 being discovered in a facility, and that's putting additional strain on an already workforce-challenged environment. We've been struggling with workforce issues, particularly for our nursing assistants in long-term care for some time, and this problem has only been exacerbated as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah, and these are tough jobs. I mean, working in a long-term care facility, whether it's a nursing home or a facility with individuals with disabilities, you know, it is good work, it's important work, and it is tough work. And this makes it so much tougher. I want to remind our listeners, we're talking about essential workers. We're talking to essential workers. If you are an essential worker, we want to hear from you. How are you doing right now? How are you handling your job? And here's another way to frame this conversation. If you're an essential worker, do you feel just a sense of gratitude to have a job in this moment when so many people are losing theirs? Or do you have a sense of guilt that you're working while others are not? Call us at 603-513-7700. Essential workers, this is your moment to talk. 603-513-7700. Or email us at nhcalling@nhpr.org. CoronavirusPandemic.org. Joan Widmer, I really want to thank you for coming on to the show and for, you know, speaking on behalf of the nurses that you have a sense of how they're doing, and good luck to you.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too. We're going to go now to Rick in Moultonboro. Hey, Rick, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Thank you.
So where do you work?
I work at a hardware store, a local hardware store.
Okay. And what's what are your concerns, and how are you doing in this moment?
I mentally gets very stressful during the day when you look out in your parking lot and, 40% of the cars in the parking lot are from out of state, which does put us off. My main concern is, within the CDC recommends face shields or face covering. And it's just a recommendation where our governor could say, well, if you're going out in the public and you're going to the grocery store, you're going to the hardware store, put a mask on. Mandate it, because, I wear a mask, I wear gloves, the people I work with, we're all doing what we can. But it's the other people that are coming in the store we have no way of knowing. And fearful, we keep our distance, we put screens up, we're one of the first ones to put screens up, we have everything up. But they're still, they're touching something. Somebody sneezes in an aisle and you go down and you have to move something. You never know. That's a big concern for us. We're busy like, there's no tomorrow. We sell feed and, people paint and everything else.
Yeah.
So that's a concern for me. Also a concern for me is my son has Crohn's. He's also older, but he's a teacher. And I don't go over to see him because I don't know if I'm, if I have the virus and I'm not showing any signs of having it. So thank God I have a summer home so I can stay away from my regular home.
Yeah.
And be separated from him. But that's, they say the frontline workers, and I agree, they're doing a tremendous job. And, I hats off to them because there's a lot to do with what they're doing.
Yeah. Rick,
but we're also on the front line, and I'd like to be tested because I could go see my family.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have any symptoms, so I'm not going to get tested. We're out there just as much as everybody else is.
Yeah, I hear you. I care about somebody with Crohn's disease too, and those, there are so many people with autoimmune diseases, and that's a lot of times those are really hidden conditions. These are people who are often pretty high functional, but it's a weight, and here you are out dealing with the public all the time, and it just sounds like you want, a little more understanding of, the ways that people can protect you and the people you care about. Rick, thanks so much for calling into the show. We're talking to essential workers right now. We want to hear from you next. What is your essential job, and how is it affecting your life? How is it affecting your home life? Are you grateful? Do you feel guilty because so many people are losing their jobs? What is the essential job that you're doing, and what do we not understand about it that you wish we did? Call us at 603-513-7700. Essential workers, we want to hear from you. 603-513-7700. Michelle is calling from Concord. Hey, Michelle, welcome to New Hampshire Calling. Are you there, Michelle?
Yeah, we're right here.
Okay, good.
I'm right here. Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, I work at Concord Hannaford.
You do,
I'm a cashier. And it is so scary, especially with, I did get hired there. I was doing the on-the-go. And I was shopping for everybody, but then they took that away and then stuck us on the front line, and we're working at the registers. It's so scary.
What exactly is, what are you scared of? What are the moments for you at work that are scariest?
Because I got asthma really, really bad. Mm. And last week I had a customer that came through my line, and we're taught to clean down everything, and I found out 5 minutes after she left that she took over the COVID-19. I was so scared.
Yeah.
I almost started freaking out and everything. So 2 days after that, I started feeling ill, And I went to my doctor because I'm scared. Now I got asthma. I can't risk myself. And of course, he tested me and it came back negative. But we got a lot, since all this lockdowns and everything, you seem to see a lot more people in the supermarkets. I don't know if it's because everything else is shut down and they're bored or they're all hoarding.
You know, Michelle, it's interesting. I shop at the Hannaford that you work at. I'll be honest. I split my loyalty between Hannaford and Market Basket. I'll be upfront about that. But love them both. And, you know, as a shopper, by the time I get to the cashier, which is where you're working, I am so strung out from of just being it feels like the riskiest part of my week, you know?
Absolutely.
And so by the time I get there, you know, it's not that I'm not considering the person in your position on the other side. I am.
True.
But I'm also just thinking, I just got to get out of here now. You know,
yes.
I'm exhausted and I'm concerned and like, I just need to
go. Absolutely. And I shop a little bit at Market Basket too, but I see a lot of customers very, very rude to some of the cashiers. And we're talking, some of these kids are, these are kids that are putting themselves in the front line, making sure the cupboards are, the shelves are full, that they're ringing them out, and making sure that we can get them out faster, you know, faster than anything. And you got some customers that are screaming at kids and yelling at them, why don't you have this? Why don't you have that? And it's like, but one thing about it is I work at Hannaford, and I have not met one rude customer.
Mm.
Not at all. They're all thank you for being here. Thank you for being open for us, and just real respect that you get from some of the customers. But then you at another store, you'll get some rude customers that will be really, really rude to these kids or cashiers. And it's like, it's not their fault that we ran out of everything. It's not their fault that we didn't get, because we have four stores. We got to split the product through. So if we don't get it and Manchester or Hoxie gets it, it's not our fault.
Michelle, it's really good to hear from you. Stay on the line. If you don't mind, we'll get your contact info and so we can follow up with you and check in on you every
Absolutely.
Once in a while. That'd be great.
Thank
I would love
you.
To talk to you again. This is New Hampshire Calling. We are talking to essential workers and we want to hear from you next. We're heading to a break, but call in to tell us what do we not understand about your job as an essential worker that you wish we did. Call us 603-513-7700. Stay with us.
Hi, my name is Melinda, and I'm calling in from Moultonboro. I'm actually calling in from work, and I work at a dentist office. And I just wanted to tell you guys that we are still all here on the front lines. We're not like emergency providers. It's not like we're in the emergency room, but we're keeping people out of the emergency rooms for toothaches. And so, just keep your dentist in mind, and thank your dentist, and thanks so much for all that you guys do. And have a good day. Stay well.
This is New Hampshire. This is New Hampshire Calling. Welcome back. I'm Jack Rodolico. We're a pop-up show from NHPR that's all about how we can help each other navigate daily life in this time of a pandemic. I want to give you just a little bit of a heads up that about a show that The Exchange, our other NHPR's other call-in show, is working on for tomorrow morning. They're going to be talking about how to help. I love this idea. I think it's a great idea for a show. I think everybody should listen. You know, a lot of us want to be helpful to others in this pandemic, but how do you do that? What do you do with that energy of wanting to help when you're not really supposed to be leaving your house? They will have ideas for how you can do your part in this global effort to help fight the pandemic in your own community. So that's tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. on The Exchange here on NHPR. Tonight on New Hampshire Calling, We're asking essential workers to call in for a check-in. How are you coping with this pandemic? How are you keeping yourself and the people around you safe? How much longer do you think you can take this? We want to hear from you. 603-513-7700. Our number is 603-513-7700. You can email us at nhcalling@nhpr.org. And you know, if you are an essential worker, do you also just feel that sense of gratitude for your job, or maybe a sense of guilt because others are losing their jobs? Or are you an essential worker in one of those jobs that we are not hearing about on the news? Do you work at a gas station? Do you work for an electrical utility company? What do you do that is considered essential that's more hidden from the news cycle? We want to hear from you too. Call us 603-513-7700. We're going to go now to Mary, who's on the line from Dover. Mary, how are you? Welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, good. You are the Mary who I've been emailing with all day, right? Who we want?
That's
you. Okay, so Mary, tell everybody where you work and what you are literally doing right now. Like, what are you in between?
Yeah, sure. So I am a physician assistant. I work at ComedianMD. I work at the locations on the seacoast. I'm currently in Dover, but I also work in Portsmouth and Exeter sometimes. And we do have clinics all over the state of New Hampshire, as well as Massachusetts and Maine. I'm currently nearing the end of my shift. I work 8 to 8, so I just came in from being outside swabbing a COVID patient, and now I'm jumping on the computer to do a telemed patient because we're doing both at the same time here.
Oh my goodness. You are 11 and a half hours into your 12-hour shift right now?
Yes.
How are you, Mary?
I'm tired.
Yeah. Are you tired all the time, or are you tired exclusively at the end of your shifts? I mean, how are you really doing?
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. We're doing the best that we can. It's been a really evolving situation. ConvenientMD has been really wonderful, and our everybody at corporate and our management has been good about kind of staying flexible and changing things real time. Mm-hmm. We've been kind of at the front of providing a lot of testing services for the state of New Hampshire. We also have employees who have gone out to help work at the Department of Health and are helping to do COVID monitoring there.
And Mary, are people still, you know, breaking their arms and needing stitches and all the stuff that you would normally do?
Yeah, so we focus a lot on going out and doing COVID stuff, but I am one of the people who is back in the clinic because we have COVID patients who we're seeing out in the parking lot, but we also have, right, little kids who fell off their bike at Easter, dog bites, people who have ticks, you know, all the kind of normal things that need to be taken care of as well. So we do try really hard, and ComvenientMD has made a commitment to stay open in all of their clinics to help keep people out of emergency rooms for things like that, which is really important.
Well, Mary, you have another patient to see right now, right?
Yeah.
So we'll let you go. wanted to bump you to the front of the line because we knew you had a really short window, but I'm glad that at 8 o'clock you'll be off and we'll get some rest.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thank you for putting the word out and, you know, getting everybody a little look inside what it's like out here.
You got it. We're glad to hear from you. Have a good night.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
We're going to go now to Debbie in Alexandria. Debbie, welcome to New Hampshire Calling. You're a visiting nurse.
I am. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So you're visiting people in their homes?
Yes. So I work for Franklin Visiting Nurses. We're a home care and hospice agency. We're a small community agency, very local, very involved in our community. And we are very busy. We're, you know, caring for people on the front lines of it. We've not seen a lot of COVID, but, you know, we are seeing an influx of people that need lots and lots of care because of so many things that have happened in our hospital settings recently in this local area. And, so we're busy.
Are you mostly dealing with, people who are older and need assistance in the home, people who have disabilities, like, is it, I guess I'm sort of wondering, are you sort of like the physician's assistant we just spoke with, are you dealing with COVID on top of all of the normal home visits that you do?
Yeah, I mean, if someone comes home and they have diagnosed with that and they need some assistance with that, we definitely would take that on. We have a large elderly population in our catchment area, so we deal with a lot of congestive heart failure. We deal with a lot of wounds, and we're also a hospice agency, so end of life care, which is so important. So we are, you know, we're just in the community. There was some concern. I had talked with someone, and they had mentioned that we might possibly be starting to do some COVID testing out in the community. Somebody had said that the governor had said something about that. I'm not sure.
So you, as a visiting nurse, might potentially be doing COVID tests in
testing.
People's homes.
Yeah. So, you know, and, you know, I personally, you know, I feel like this is a calling. I think most visiting nurses you talk to will tell you that. You know, it's such an awesome opportunity. It's really frontline healthcare.
Yes.
All the time. But you know, it's pretty tiring. And what breaks our heart is the people. You know, we're really starting to see the trickle down effects of decreased access to you know, physicians. You know, things like that. So
like
that's a concern.
Yeah, yeah. And let me just ask you, you know, one other quick question before I let you go. It's a bit of a loaded one, but, you know, if you had one word or one sentence to describe how you and your visiting nurse colleagues are doing personally, you know, how would you sum that up?
You know, each one is individual, so I don't want to speak for all
sure.
of us. I just came off a three-day weekend. I worked 4 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and I was on call the whole time. So right now I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, you know, I really feel like we are doing exactly what we were called to be doing, you know. So for myself, I'm so grateful. And I want to put a shout out to the Dunkin' Donuts people because I was there every day, twice a day.
I love that. I wasn't expecting an essential worker to give a shout out to other essential workers, but that's perfect.
Yeah.
I love that. Debbie, thank you for calling in and for loving the work you do. This is New Hampshire Calling. We're talking to essential workers. We've got a bunch of them on the phones. We're asking you to call in, send your emails. The number is 603-513-7700. What do we not know about the work you do as an essential worker that you think we should? 603-513-7700 or email nhcalling@nhpr.org. A quick email from Lloyd. He says, my job is to travel to 60 retail stores performing regular building maintenance. I cover New Hampshire, Maine, Vermont, some New Hampshire border towns in Massachusetts, and the Albany-Schenectady area of New York. My company has restricted me from traveling to New York temporarily. Otherwise, my job has not changed. I've been going to about 45 stores on a rotating basis. Wow. I am 57 years old and a bit overweight. I have not been infected and have no symptoms. We're grateful for that, Lloyd, and we appreciate your email. We're going to go now to Pat in Somersworth. Hey, Pat, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Thank you. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing great. I'm glad to hear from you. You do a very different type of essential work. You're the director of a food pantry.
That's correct.
So we have talked on the show before about how demand is up at food pantries around the state. So I expect that's true for you. I'm wondering, how are you doing? I imagine you're dealing with more people who are in difficult situations, and is it taking a toll?
That's correct. I am doing a lot with people who are in trouble. The biggest issue that we started to have was a lot of our volunteers. It's a 501c3 outfit, so everybody there is a volunteer, and a lot of our volunteers are elderly, so they didn't feel comfortable working at the food pantry. So instead of working with a staff of 60 like we normally do, we're down to about a staff of 10 that are regular people coming in each and every day that we are open.
You said from 50 down to 10 people, and your demand is higher.
Yeah, we're handling it, but you know, we had to go from having people come into the food pantry and select their own food to serving them in a parking lot setting, which is a little different. But it's working out. They still get a little bit of choice. We give them a 2-page grocery list, and they get to select the items that they want, and then we fill those items inside, and we bring the carts out to them, and they load the groceries into their own cart.
And Pat, you know, and how is it How does it affect you? You know, and when you go home, you know, you are seeing people in really tough situations, which is a job you do day to day, but you're probably hearing from people who were not expected, who are really surprised to be in this position.
Yes.
You know,
a lot of unemployed people who are all of a sudden finding out that they need to come to a food pantry that never thought they would have to use something like this in their life.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to watch. It's a little bit taxing on all of us, but when you see the smiles on their face when you help them, and we get nice little emails from some of them saying how important it is that we're there and how much they appreciate the fact that we're there to help them out.
Yeah. Well, Pat, thank you for calling into the show, and we appreciate hearing from you.
All right. Thank you, and have a nice night.
You too.
Bye now.
We're asking essential workers to call in to tell us on New Hampshire Calling, how are you doing? What's really going on in your day-to-day? And are you in one of those essential jobs that we don't hear about much on the news? Are you working at a gas station? Are you working in sanitation? You know, there are so many essential jobs that we don't hear about in the news all day, every day. We want to hear from all of you. Tell us how you are coping with this situation. The number is 603-513-7700, 603-513-7700. We're taking your emails, too, at nhcalling@nhpr.org. Let's go now to Clinton in Webster. Hey, Clinton, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jack. I haven't seen you in a while. We used to work on your car. I work at an automotive shop, Accomplished Auto in Concord.
Oh, yeah, Clint, I remember you.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's it? Clint, how's it going you are definitely essential. What's it like, man? You're going into people's cars all the time. That's got to be a little scary.
Yeah, no, that's the biggest thing, is keeping myself and my staff safe, you know, just trying to keep things clean. I mean, very early on, we started doing stocking up on as much sanitation supplies as we can to wipe down people's cars and wearing masks in their cars. And that's as much to protect them as to protect us, because obviously it with the cases of people not even knowing you have the COVID-19, you don't want to be breathing in their car and contaminating their car. So we've been very careful about that. And we've been taking a lot of extra steps like that. We've also been doing pickup and drop off services for people that have been stuck at home and not able to get out, so they can keep their cars up to speed, because even with stay-at-home orders, people still need to get out and get their groceries and get their essential supplies. So,
yeah, absolutely. Clint, it's good to hear from you, and I wish you luck, and I'll see you on the other side of this thing.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay, take care.
Thanks for my call.
Absolutely.
Everybody stay healthy out there.
We're trying. You know, it's a small state when in one show, in about 40 minutes, you hear from the person who works at your grocery store and your mechanic, both of whom are clearly essential workers in this pandemic. And that's who we're talking to right now. We want to hear from you next. What is it about your job as an essential worker that you think we should know about? Or do you have an essential worker you want to give a shout out to because of the awesome work they're doing for you? Call us at 603-513-7700. That's 513-7700. Stay with us. Welcome back. I'm Jack Rodolico, and this is New Hampshire Calling, a live pop-up show from NHPR that's all about how we can help each other navigate daily life in a time of coronavirus. We're talking to essential workers tonight. We want them to call in to tell us about their day jobs or night jobs and what it's really like on the front lines for them. But I want to let you in a little early, too, on what we're working on for tomorrow night's show. Our topic, I'm really looking forward to this one. I think it's a really interesting question, is are you an introvert or are you an extrovert? And how does that impact how you are handling all of this social distancing and isolation? Are you an introvert who doesn't mind spending more time at home away from others? Or are you an extrovert who is climbing the walls because you can't stand not being around other people? Or do you fall somewhere in the middle of the extrovert-introvert spectrum? Let us know in advance. Record a voice memo and email it to nhcalling@nhpr.org, or you can always leave us a voicemail at 603-513-7700. Now we're talking to essential workers. How does your day job fit into the essential parts of the response to the pandemic? Is your schedule killing you, or is it business as usual? Do you want to give a shout out to an essential worker who's touched your life? Call us to talk, 603-513-7700. Again, the number is 603-513-7700, or email us at nhcalling@nhpr.org. We're going to go now to Judy on the line from Brookline, New Hampshire. Hey, Judy, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Hi, it's a pleasure talking with you. I love New Hampshire NPR.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so glad. And now, I've got a note here that you have a daughter who works at a nursing home. Is that right?
No, she works in an urgent care facility.
Oh, I see.
I wanted to give a shout out to her, but to all frontline workers. I can speak from a mother's perspective of the stress that she's going through right now, caring for people that are infected by this potentially deadly virus. There's several things. First of all, she is at risk because she has respiratory issues, as well as my granddaughter. But she also, as all doctors do, they take the Hippocratic Oath, and she takes it seriously, 100%. And whether she's at work or she passes somebody who needs medical care, she is by oath required to stop. And she does. And she takes it to heart. So she's under tremendous stress, to say the least, because there still are nowhere near the required personal protective PPEs that she needs in her job. She's having to, she's not even using the masks many times. If somebody doesn't have outwardly, like coughing, and she's treating people that very well may be infected, that are sick in other ways, but if they're not coughing, she won't use a mask. So she's really putting herself every day at risk. Mm. And also, I just wanted to mention something else, that she's doing more telemedicine, but as a doctor, she is a hands-on doctor. So she's feeling that stress too, that she doesn't feel she can adequately treat some of the people that she speaks to through telemedicine. So I just wanted to shout out to all workers who are risking their life every day because they want, you know, they're called to do this. That's what they say when they become physicians. They pledge to do this. And I want to commend every frontline worker's heroic work. And I hope that the situation with the PPEs will improve as time goes on.
Judy, I can hear the stress in your voice talking about your daughter who's in this precarious situation. And we do this every once in a while. We've actually got somebody else on the phone who's in a pretty parallel situation. So just stay on the line while we bring in Loretta from Ashland. Loretta, welcome to New Hampshire Calling. You're on the line with me and with Judy from Brookline, New Hampshire. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, and I wanted to bring both of you in because you have a niece who works in an all COVID ER in Massachusetts. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
So you're in this similar position to Judy where someone you care about is on the front line and you are also really concerned. Tell us about that.
Very much so. My niece is in her 40s, and prior to this outbreak, she just had a regular job that she went to and she took care of people every day. And now she's doing the same thing, except it's such a desperation. She's just surrounded by death and dying. And the other day she told me how she was sitting in a room in between two elderly women. Both of them were dying, and there wasn't much that she could do for them except to try to keep them comfortable. And I'm so concerned about her. It's such a horrific situation for everyone who's involved in this. I don't think that we who get to sit home realize just how much these people in the front lines have to put themselves out there every day. She goes off to work not knowing whether or not she's going to catch it. In addition to the dying that she's witnessing, she needs to be concerned about bringing it home to her family, and God bless them all.
And Loretta and Judy, I want to throw the same question to you. And Judy, I'll let you go first. It really sounds like both of you are talking about, you know, you've got an essential worker in your family. You're concerned about their health potentially catching the virus. But there's this whole other component of their mental health and the stress that is impacting their life, right?
Absolutely. It affects the whole family. And as soon as she gets home, she takes off all her clothes, she takes a shower, and she's still not feeling safe around her own children or around her husband. It's put tremendous stress on the family dynamics, to say the least.
Go ahead, Loretta.
Yes, I feel the very same. The other day, it occurred to me that not only is she going through this situation, but it came to my attention about the post-traumatic stress that she must be going through. And what is this going to do to all of these workers when this is over, if it ever is over? What's going to happen with their mental health? How can a human being go through this day in, day out without coming out of it completely changed person?
Absolutely. I agree with you 1,000%, Loretta.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful to both of you for calling, and you know, I think your family members are lucky to have both of you and to have people who care about them so much. Thank you both for calling in.
You're welcome. Pleasure.
Thank you for being there.
You got it.
Thank you.
Bye.
This is New Hampshire Calling. We're talking to essential workers. We're talking to mothers and aunts of essential workers about the stress that this is taking on them. We want to hear from people, you know, and how it's really working. And we've got more people on the line. Let's go to Stephen in Northfield. Hey, Stephen, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Hi, Jack. How are you tonight?
I'm okay. Thank you for calling.
So I think there's a segment of the essential workers that may not be getting recognized, and that is people who are volunteers that take responsibility for either like Meals on Wheels or taking people to medical appointments that are essential for them to sustain their life. Whether it be, you know, something like dialysis or leukemia or something else, that they just cannot not go to that appointment. And some of these people that do this are pure volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get compensated in any kind of way of salary.
And they're using their, is this work that you do? Are you a volunteer?
Yes, I am.
And are you taking people in your own car?
Yes, I am.
Do you get paid mileage?
Yes.
Okay, so but part of the idea is, you know, this is frontline work where sometimes you're potentially having people in your car who might be symptomatic.
Correct.
Yeah. Have you been in that position?
Oh, yes. I have some people that I take on a regular basis. Every week to, you know, some type of essential medical appointment for them. And the company that I work through, they have given us guidelines and things to help us out, but they can't even get some of the equipment that is needed for us. It's like this is a segment that of the essential workers that I think is not being fully understood or fully recognized.
I hear you, Stephen, and I appreciate you shining a light on the work of all the people who are volunteering, you know, their own time to help people get to their medical appointments. Thank you for calling into the show.
Thank you, Jack.
We're going to go now to someone who had called into the show before, and when we decided to do a show on essential workers, we were thinking back over people we've talked to, and Ed Hanscom came to mind. Ed, are you on the line?
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being on the show again. I think I remember you saying that you are going to be a regular. Do I have that right, the last time you called in?
Yeah, I love the show. It's on the perfect time, you know. New Hampshire and HPR is one of my favorite stations, and I love call-in shows.
Oh, cool. Well, we're in your wheelhouse then. So you work in the produce section of a Hannaford in Maine, and, you know, you started working there right as the pandemic started. You have told me that, you know, typically you work in restaurants but could not find restaurant work. We heard from someone who worked at another Hannaford earlier in the show who said that she is sometimes seeing, you know, customers getting a little impatient. But what's it like for you? I mean, do you feel like shoppers come in and see you as essential?
I mean, we see very, very few people get impatient. The majority of the people are appreciative that we are there. You know, I hear numerous times a day, you know, I can count on one hand at least, hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for doing what you do. You know, thanks for allowing us to come in, grocery shop, being here to work. You know, I hear it all day long from people, and I think it might be something to do with the community that I'm in. You know, it's definitely a community-based store, a smaller store, and the people have been great coming in.
And, you know, if somebody takes a moment to say that kind of, to express that kind of gratitude, you know, when you're doing a job that people might typically take for granted, I mean, do you feel seen in those moments? Does it help get you through the day a little bit? Does it propel you a little further through the day?
It gets me to go back to work the next day, you know, it gets me through the day. Yes. You know, but it gets me to go back to work the next day.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's not my job in normal times is not quote unquote one of those emergency room type jobs, those essential jobs, you know, so. But to be around, get out of the house for a little bit, yes, I'm putting myself at risk, you know, and potentially, you know, but it's still nice to go into work. It's still nice to see people. It's still nice to be part of something.
Yeah. That's a good sentiment to end our show on. We really appreciate hearing from you again, Ed, and keep listening, okay?
Definitely. Thank you so much.
No problem. I want to read a quick email right before we cap the show off from Katie in Durham. She says, so I've been trying to get a garage door repaired since last summer, and I stopped calling to the guy who was working on it last month because I figured, of course, they'd be closed. Surprise, surprise, in the middle of this shutdown, the lovely guy from Duploy Enterprises showed up and finished the job, and he assured me that he was busier than ever. And when you think about it, getting in and out of your garage is pretty essential. That is a lovely sentiment to end our show on tonight. Thank you to Katie from Durham. I think we all learned a bit about really what it means to be an essential worker in this crisis from all of these different perspectives. And I'm grateful to everyone who called into the show tonight. Thank you for listening. Keep listening. New Hampshire Calling is produced by Emily Quirk with help from Pete Nakos. Corey Princell is NHPR's managing editor. Maureen McMurray is our show's executive producer. This is New Hampshire Calling. I'm Jack Rodolico. And remember, we are all in this together.
NHPR is your source for timely, reliable information regarding the coronavirus global pandemic and its impact in New Hampshire.
Remote learning began in mid-March. The DOE has asked districts to document spending related to the pandemic.
Some graduated nursing students from Plymouth State University are headed to the front lines of the pandemic.
Sununu says the idea is to create guidance documents to allow businesses to reopen when and where it's safe to do so.
Stay tuned for the latest news throughout the day on NHPR and at nhpr.org.